Well, good morning. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. It may be a little rainy and all, but we are gathered together inside. We have a fellowship meal right after our service, so that's another good reason to be here together. Psalm 32, verse 11, "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, I'll say it again, rejoice. So I'll say it again this morning. Let's rejoice as we're here together. The Lord is God, and he makes his light shine on us. We praise, exalt, and we rejoice in him. So we're going to start our service this morning rejoicing together, singing, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad in it." So if you're able and willing, you can stand with me as we sing, "This is the day." It's hymn number 26 in the hymnal.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in you. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Well, I heard somebody rejoicing over there playing the piano.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Brother Fred, would you open us in prayer this morning?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again that we hear to worship you. Lord, we love you and we thank you this morning that you saved our souls, that you came to earth as Jesus for the redemption of mankind. Lord, we thank you that he was willing to give of himself that we can have eternal life. Thank you so much, Father, for that. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this country. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, we just thank you today. We're just showered with so many blessings from you. And our heart is full of thanksgiving to you today. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit come in a mighty way, Lord, and be around us, in us, and work through us today. Lord, as we worship you as our Lord and our Savior. Lord, may everything we say and do be for the glory of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that I pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can sit back down, but we're going to sing again. So if you can stand up for a little bit, that's fine too. So this morning, I heard a song as I was preparing the words for this morning, and it's Life Song. It's not a new song. It's an old song I've heard all the time, but this morning it just hit me. So some of the lyrics, "Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say and the things I do make my life song sing and bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you." And that just made me think this morning as we sing songs of praise, I hope our own life songs are singing to him and praising him. And that it's not just songs we're singing, but it's our attitude of worship. So may our life song sing to Him with this next song as we sing, "How marvelous and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me." Definitely one worth singing. It's 224, "My Savior's Love," and we're going to sing the first, second, fourth, and fifth verses. You're welcome to stand. You're welcome to remain seated.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my soul.
How marvelous and how wonderful His love for us is. Y'all give Him a clap offering this morning.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, by way of announcements this week, you can tell Cindy was back doing her job. We got our email Friday. It wasn't depending on me this time. Following our worship service today is potluck. I have already seen plenty of food. If you didn't bring food, stay and eat. There's plenty. We want you to stay with us. And let's just get together and eat together, break bread, and spend some time together. We don't do that enough around here. Our Tuesday morning breakfast group meet at the Jack's in Trustful on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11 at 9:30 a.m. Wednesday night Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. I saw on our email, studying the book of Acts. That'll be a good study. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11 on Sundays here in the Worship Center. Coming up Thursday, April 17th, and y'all, Tuesday is April the 1st. Easter's going to be here before we know it. But Thursday, April 17th at 6:30 p.m. here in the Worship Center, we will have a Maundy Thursday service. I'm looking forward to that. Game night. We will not have a game night in the month of April because the third Friday in April is Good Friday. So, and honor and observance of Good Friday, we will wait and meet to May 16th will be the next third Friday in the month. So May 16th at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Three Hots in a Cot. We are collecting items to support the veterans living there. There's a list on the back information table of the items they typically need. And there is a box in the back, and I see it's getting full again. Y'all are good to support our veterans. There's also a collection box in the back for our food pantry recipients. Again, there's another list on the back information table with the items that we normally give out every month to our food pantry recipients. I will mention again, there's a short-term mission trip coming up July 19th through the 26th. If you're not able to go, then we can all pray for Fred's son Richard and the team going. Also for those that they will be ministering to. Pray for the Lord to prepare their hearts in these months to come. Like I mentioned, our announcements and prayer lists go out on Fridays in an email. And if you are not getting those emails, or if you have anything to add, just let Cindy know. Or you can email the church at clayfellowshipchurch.com. No, Gmail. Gmail. See, I shouldn't do things from memory because my memory is awful. clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com. And Cindy will be gone this Friday, so if anybody wants to text me to remind me to send it out Friday, that's fine too. Maybe I won't forget so soon. All right, in all seriousness, let's spend a little time in meditation and in prayer, lifting up our praises to the Lord, to our Lord Jesus, but also lifting up those on our prayer list, those that are in our hearts. Let's just take a few moments and be still and remember that He is God and go to Him in prayer. O Lord, our everlasting God, great are You, and You are worthy of all praise. May our meditation, our prayers, and our worship this morning, our gifts and our tithes, be pleasing to You as we rejoice in You. Lord, take and bless for Your glory and for the furtherance of Your kingdom. This is the day that You have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, You are our rock and our redeemer. We lift up those named on our prayer list and those in our hearts to You, Lord. You know their needs. You know the desires of our hearts. Lord, we place them in Your mighty hands and wait in expectation to see You move. May the words we say, the things we do, the songs we sing honor and glorify You. May our life songs bring a smile to You. In the holy, lifted, high name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
Well, I heard another song this morning that hit me, the lyrics. And the Lord is so good to put this together because the songs were picked out Friday. But the other things happened to me this morning, and He just pulls them all together. The name of this song is Who Else? And some of the lyrics, I am an instrument of exaltation. We are instruments of His exaltation. And I was born to lift the name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation. But there's a song of praise that only I can bring. I praise God for playing Life Song for me this morning because as I was preparing, that gave me the theme of our Life Song singing for Him. And then I see the lyrics of the hymn we're going to sing next. Then sings my soul. He blesses me by putting all this together. Then sings my soul, and as all of creation praises the Lord, but there is a praise that only we can bring. May we offer that praise to Him this morning as we sing, How Great Thou Art, is hymn number 33, and we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth verses.
How great Thou art.
You may be seated.
We've got to sing our song from last week again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. That second verse is about He answers prayer. Amen? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you. We're over halfway through our 40 days of prayer. Hope you're keeping in mind, because He does answer prayer, folks. And He's going to bring a revival to us and to this church and to this country, because we're asking for that kind of blessing from Him. Amen? Our world needs it. Our world needs it. This morning, we're back on the Sermon on the Mount. Wouldn't you, you know, some people wouldn't have lasted this long, would they? You know? Here we are. There's probably nothing at all that's sicker to me than religious hypocrisy. You probably know some, right? People who claim to be uptight with God, but then turn out to be total fakes. I think it's awful. It's just awful. It makes you sick to your stomach. You know, in recent months, in fact years, the news that we've heard has been full of these devastating headlines of religious leaders, people who we trusted, have turned out to be child and wife abusers, womanizers, embezzlers, scammers, even sexual predators. These kind of folks bring disgrace to the name of Jesus and to His church. These charlatans and predators, they have disillusioned so many generations of the church. Church members, as well as people outside of the church, they've done irreparable damage to folks in our country and all over this world. But it's not only the leaders in churches that have and are continuing to disgrace the name of Jesus. Don't you hear it all the time? That church is just full of hypocrites. You ever heard that before? Of course you have. Hypocrites are sitting on pews this morning, right this very minute, living their little fake lives before God and before each other. Folks, if religious hypocrisy makes you mad, makes you furious, well, you're in good company, because Jesus couldn't stand it either. Amen? And it's a little known fact, but Jesus was the first person in recorded history to call out religious people using the word hypocrite, at least in that way. 17 different times you'll find in the New Testament, Jesus uses this word hypocrite. Every single time it's from His own lips, Jesus uses that word to call out religious fakery, the fakes in this world. So when religious liberty worries you, it troubles you, we're actually thinking on the same line of thought that Jesus is. You're thinking Jesus' way. Now, that word hypocrite comes from the word Hippocrates. Hippocrates. It means actor or stage player. It's taken from the Greco-Roman theater. In fact, you've probably seen those two masks, you know, one with a smile and the other one with a frown. Comedy and tragedy is what they're known as, those two faces. Because the actors in theater of that day, they would wear these masks as they were acting. They'd put on a mask and they'd walk out, maybe sometimes with a big smile, or maybe sometimes looking with a big frown or something, as they play their part there on the stage. So before Jesus, the term didn't have a negative connotation. It simply meant actor, stage performer, nothing negative. But then Jesus comes along. And scholars tell us that he introduced this word. He was a name changer, okay? And when he applies this term to religious fakery, religious leaders, he was calling out how disingenuous they were. They weren't not to be what they appeared to be, like they were wearing a mask. He says that religious people can sometimes act actually like they're playing a part, that they're wearing some kind of religious mask, and that they're performing for their own attention. Today, I want you to answer a question for me. It's the title of my sermon. For whom are you performing? Am I wearing a mask? Or am I authentic? I'm just another one of those fakes. But you need to answer that question today. We're in Matthew's Gospel again, chapter 5, very last verse of chapter 5, and then we'll begin in chapter 6. And then I'm going to skip a few verses there where the Lord's Prayer is and go on to the verses 16 through 18. If you got your Bibles, and hope you do, turn to the 48th verse of chapter 5, and we'll begin reading here. And it's a connection. The reason I'm reading this to you, there's such a connection between how verse 48 leads in to verse 1. Remember, there was no verses in chapters in the original way it was written. Let's begin. Therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your heavenly Father, who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And now skip on down to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let us pray. Father, I am absolutely nothing without you. But with you, Lord, everything is possible today. Lord, may the words of my mouth, may they be acceptable to you, O Lord, because you are my rock and my redeemer. And all the people said, Amen. First thing I want you to see in this passage is like I said, how chapter 6 flows right out of chapter 5. You must therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's verse 48. Now, Jesus has been illustrating for us the kind of heart, a heart of righteousness that's at home in the kingdom of heaven. He's been showing us the kind of true inner goodness that flows from a transformed heart that's made alive through Jesus himself. This is the kind of heart that Jesus is offering those folks that day on the mountainside. And this is the kind of heart that he's offering for us. We've been speaking about it the last few Sundays. He's offering to be our righteousness. He goes on the cross. He dies as our substitute that we might be alive in him. We might be covered with his righteousness. How many of you want to be covered with your own righteousness? I don't see a hand. He's offering to lead us into righteousness by his Spirit, as he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in our lives and leads us in the way of righteousness. He's offering to transform us into the righteousness of God. For one day we'll be complete and we'll be standing with him in glory. Amen. This righteous heart, it's a heart that is perfect. It's the one, at least the one he wants us to have. Like our Father is perfect. And again, it's righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. We can't forget verse 20, can we, back in chapter 5. And when Jesus has been doing is illustrating the inadequacy of how the Pharisees were teaching the people that day. At least about their concerning their righteousness. And now in these verses, he's going to shift to the inadequacies of their practices, what they do, how they live out that righteousness. At verse 1, see, beware. Another translation says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Then you're not going to have any reward in heaven, are you? You've got your reward. Now, every phrase of this sentence is vital to understanding what Jesus is trying to tell us. Now, he's not saying, beware of practicing your righteousness. He's not saying that. Because he just said in verse 48, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's action. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to have righteousness that exceeds that of those scribes and Pharisees. He wants us to have goodness in our hearts that will flow out to what we do, how we act. Remember, he said that a healthy tree bears good fruit. A righteous heart practices righteousness. He also is not saying, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Remember, earlier in his sermon, let your light so shine before men, Lord, your Father will give the glory. He's not saying, don't ever do good deeds in public. Jesus expects us to live out our righteousness so the world can see us. But to glorify us, no. To glorify our Father who is in heaven as they see our action. He's not saying you can't be seen. The key word here in that last phrase, beware of practicing your righteousness before the people in order to be seen by them. Who were the scribes and Pharisees performing for? Huh? It wasn't God. Jesus is not against righteousness and the display of your righteousness. He's not telling you don't be noticed. What he's against is the fake performances of righteousness. He's against that righteousness that wants to be seen, that wants to be noticed. You ever have people when you were growing up that was the class clown, they wanted to be seen all the time? I think of these scribes and Pharisees as that kind of person. He's against the kind of goodness that wants to play to the crowd. When Jesus is saying that he's entirely possible to do all the right things, all the good things, and yet do them for the wrong reasons. That's where he's coming from. For the wrong reasons. It's one thing to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. And so you love your neighbor as yourself. But why do you do that? Why do you do that? Is it a performance for the world to see you? No. Well, you need to do it, because it's a good thing that you let your light shine before men, but they so they can see your good deeds, but to the glory of the Father. But it's another to practice righteousness in order to be seen, to be noticed, to impress people, to get ahead in life. I knew some folks, some men. Men, I'm going to pick on you today. They were salesmen. One of them was an insurance salesman. One was an investor salesman. The only reason they come to church was to try to sell the other people in the church and look good so people would trust them with their money. Get ahead in life, come to church. Look like you're a Christian. You know, politicians do the same thing. Before election time, they'll be in church almost every Sunday. But when it's not election time, you do well to see them on Christmas and Easter, don't you? Let's say it like it is, folks. Being this way, you're full of selfishness. These kinds of people are full of their ego. And Jesus calls it hypocrisy. Beware of people like that. Be wary of that kind of righteousness. He calls it a religious death trap. Then in chapter 6, Jesus gives us three examples of what he's talking about. You know, he teaches us something, and then he's always good about giving us an example to follow that so we can better understand. The first one is in verse 2. When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Now, stop there with me. Jesus is using what's known as hyperbole, exaggeration, a little bit here. It was intentional, I think, because they probably didn't actually blow trumpets, but they did walk through the streets with their bags of coin. And they wanted to be seen as they walked to the synagogue. Probably the folks on the hillside that day laughed when Jesus said that, because they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. People who come in to the temple, not to worship, but they come in with their bags of coins. And there's this collection box at the front of the synagogue, and I can see them, can't you, holding that bag of coins as high there as they can and pouring them out so they'll make all this noise to be seen by people. Whoa, did you hear how much they gave? Jesus must really love them. But Jesus is saying, hold it. Hold it. They're doing it for show, not for God. That's his first one. Now, second illustration has to do with praying. Verse 5. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that what? They will be seen by other people. You know, there's people who actually love to be called on to pray. You've got an Uncle Sid or Uncle Jack that just loves to pray. And he prays so long, you sit there, will you please shut up so we can eat? He's proud of himself because of his many words. Some people love to pray at worship for the wrong reasons. They want to be heard by people. Some of them love to pray at public events, you know. Go to the city council and pray. Go to the football games and when we used to have the prayer before the football game started. You remember that? I guess they feel it. Oh, it's a status thing. It's an acknowledgement of my religious stature in the community. Some people just relish that honor. Being on the stage. Oh, just give them a microphone. They want to be seen by people. That's the second picture he's giving us. Then the third illustration is about fasting. Jesus says, when you fast, do not look gloomy. There's another translation, like the hypocrites. Because they're going to disfigure their faces that their fasting may be noticed and seen by other people. You see, fasting is all about cultivating our soul's appetite for spiritual nourishment, the presence of God. But you can twist anything, can't you? And they put fasting on public display, part of that fake righteousness. They wanted it to be obvious. I'm fasting. I look hungry. I look miserable. Folks walk up to him and say, oh, you don't look so good today. What's going on? Well, you know, I'm fasting. Well, why don't you eat something? You'd feel better and look better. Oh, I'm just suffering for the Lord. Can't you see how much I'm suffering? You see, this kind of righteousness is what Jesus is talking about. This fake righteousness. Trying to get noticed. They give, they pray, they fast just to be seen by people. Now, all three of those things are good things to do for the right reasons when they're actually about God and not about themselves. But here we are, 2,000 years later. Not much has changed, has it? The scribes and Pharisees are just called by different names, aren't they? People love having their pictures taken. Beside, you know, a billboard that's like a check, you know? Holding the check up and saying, look how much money I've given. Pat them on the back. Or they pat themselves on the back. Religious elites love that kind of stuff. Like their photographs in the newspaper. Maybe have their picture taken when they're praying, you know, at the city council meeting. There's a lot of folks today that can't do a good deed without wanting to post it on Facebook. Think about it. Or whatever, you know, whatever kind of social media they happen to be on. Folks, hypocrisy is when goodness becomes our personal billboard, advertising how good we are. My Bible says we're filthy rags. What does yours say? These people aren't being good for God's sake. They're not even being good for goodness' sake. They're being good for their own sake and reputation. It's all about cultivating that image, managing their brand, wanting people to think well of us, wanting to fit into society, wanting to be the winner, come out on top, where we'll be affirmed how great you are. We'll be adored by people. We loved by people. And we'll be applauded by the masses. That's what hypocrites are all about. Actors with masks, playing to the crowd, playing to the audience. And it was a problem, a big problem for Jesus. It should be one for us too. Like I said, it's one of my pet peeves is religious hypocrisy. I asked you the question already, for whom are you performing? I think it's time to give an answer. Not for me to hear, not for anyone else to hear in this building, but you need to answer that question for yourself. You see, we can twist, convolute religious goodness when it just becomes about social acceptance. It's almost keeping a moral record of what we do. What about how's your spiritual notoriety in the world? Oh, all my ministry achievements. You know, used to we had to fill out a form a report at the end of the year. All the ministers did. I felt bad because they wanted to know what you've done. I didn't do anything. God did a few things. He did a lot of things, but I didn't do nothing. It was not me, it was Him. Social recognition, where our behavior come, it's all about the pressure of the crowd. It's all about how good of a performance are you going to have in life. It's what Jesus didn't like. And it's into that that Jesus is inviting us. He's calling us back to have that heart like a child again. Delighting in the smile of their father. Children are great, don't they? They don't carry any baggage. They just love being with each other. Jesus says later in Matthew, says, unless you become like a little child, You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Maybe this is one of those things he's talking about. Jesus says, come. Come. Trust in me. Follow me. And I'll give you a new heart. A heart of a child in the kingdom of my Father. A heart that has nothing to fear. Nothing to hide. Nothing to prove. That's a child, isn't it? I can give you a heart that lives in kind of a quiet, unassuming goodness of childlike faith. Where you can say with your behavior, look, Daddy, look what I did. It's for you. And Jesus said, when your Father sees in secret, he's going to what? Reward you openly. He sees, he knows, he smiles when we behave that way. Now here's the takeaway for this morning. Will you dare to live for an audience of one? Now, this is not original. I always borrow things from people. A book written by Oz Guinness called The Call, where he describes the Puritans. Remember the Puritans that lived in the 16th and 17th century? They were Christians. And he said they used this phrase, they stood before an audience of one. They knew that the smiles of earth were nothing compared to the smiles of heaven. And that if they had the smile of the Father, they could face anything that would be thrown against them. And folks, we know from history they faced a lot of hardships. But Jesus says, if you come to me, I'll give you a new heart that will dare to live for the audience of one. With eyes that are open to the Father, where you can see his smile and know in your heart, that's enough. Look, Daddy, I did this for you. Everything I do, I'm borrowing from a song, I do it for you. Everything I do. So, how do we live out our week, this week coming up? Why don't you do something like Jesus? Something that's good. And don't tell anybody. Keep it a secret. Don't you think Jesus is brilliant to want us to do this? So do something, you know? Do something righteous. Do something good. Something that would normally impress people to do. But don't. What does that do for you? Well, first of all, your heart's going to just about break because you want to tell somebody you did something good, you know? But it's that's the flesh. That's our flesh talking to us. But we'd rather have the smile of God than the applause of the masses. Now, if you get up at 6 o'clock one morning and get your Bible out and have an hour of prayer, don't you get on Facebook or what's that other one called? Instagram. And put that on there, okay? Don't take a picture of your selfie and put it on and say, I was up praying at 6 o'clock. Don't do that. In fact, don't even think to yourself about this good thing you're going to do this week. Even keep it a secret from yourself. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing, right? Just let it go into the background of your mind, of your subconscious, okay? Do something good this week. Trust that God sees it. Folks, I promise you, it's harder than it sounds. Because we're all full of egos, aren't we? But Jesus is teaching us how to exercise our souls in the habits of being genuine. That's not tainted with the world and wanting the approval or applause of the world. All the twistedness that they think about. He's teaching us the habits of a heart that is righteous before God. His Holy Spirit will lead you into this kind of righteousness. And our Father who sees in secret will reward you. That's a promise. And He makes that promise 3 times here. Don't you want that? Wouldn't you love to be rewarded by God rather than man? If you do, let's follow Jesus. Let's do it His way. Follow Him. Again, for whom are you performing? I hope you're saying God and God alone. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everybody said, Amen.
Let's stand and sing, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. It's hymn number 302 in the hymnal, and we're going to sing the first and the third verse. The altar is open.
If you will, come to the altar and join me. And Diane's not here this morning, but I'd love y'all to pray with me for her surgery on Tuesday. Let's pray. Father, Lord, You are the great physician. You're the healer. And Lord, there's no better person to depend on than You. Lord, we trust You for healing with Diane. Lord, be with the physicians and nurses and people that treat her this week, Lord. help them do the best they've ever done in their lives as they work on her. Lord, but we trust you for the healing, Lord. We trust you, and we thank you right now for what you're going to do in Diane's life this week. And we all claim this in the name of Jesus by saying amen. 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 Thank you. Let me go ahead and have the blessing. Father, bless this food. Bless, Lord, those who prepared it, Lord. Be with us, Lord, as we have fellowship. Lord, we love each other, and we care about each other, and we lift each other up in the name of Jesus. Amen.